We've all heard the saying, opposites attract. And that is usually associated with relationships used to explain the phenomenon of dissimilar people taking a strong or romantic interest in each other. Now, according to the DailyMail.com, opposites do attract. Psychologists say couples who are too similar to each other are less likely to last. So beware to all of you who are too similar to each other. And couples who agree with each other all the time may find they are actually too close for comfort. Couples who are too similar to each other, both physically and in personality, are less likely to have a long-lasting relationship than those with some distance between them. So do you know what that means? That means my wife and I are going to be married forever. But I'm not here today to talk about relationships. I'm here to talk about the opposite to opposites attract, which is an opposite way of thinking. You follow? Well, let me explain. Okay, the Bible is full of surprises, isn't it? Insofar as the world is concerned, it most definitely is, since many don't understand the Bible. And many are dumbfounded when we try to explain why we do what we do and why we don't do what so many people in the world are doing, and for the most part, they really don't think anything of it. For example, if someone questions our beliefs as to why we don't keep many of the holidays, but instead keep the holy days, which the Bible commands, or if someone asks us who we may be voting for, and we respond with our reasons, backed up with biblical principles on why we don't vote, or if someone asks about our viewpoint on same-sex marriage, or abortion, or joining the military and fighting in war for our country, or why we don't eat pork, why we don't smoke, why we don't work on Saturdays, and why we keep the Sabbath, the Ten Commandments, all of them. And oftentimes the reaction is that of perplexity or disinterest or, that's cool, good for you. God is awesome because he loves you. He loves everyone. Or it could even lead to an unproductive argument, which is a warning for us all that we need to be careful when we pick our battles. We must do that wisely if we're going to have a conversation with someone. Now, I'm sure many of you have had these conversations with people and had people ask about what we believe in. And a lot of times, the reaction is the same. But it's this backwards way of thinking and the lack of understanding why there is so much confusion out there. It is quite opposite from what we believe. And that is why opposites don't attract. And that's the title of my message today, Opposites Don't Attract. You either keep God's law or you don't. You can't pick and choose what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep. The world says that the law has been done away with. But look at what Christ says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 through 19. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Christ says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So obviously we see a contrast here. He didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And if people think that fulfilling means ending, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? No, what he's referring to here is fulfill by meaning completing to the fullest extent. But he goes on to say, "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Has everything been fulfilled yet? Is there a reason why the law has ended? Keeps on going in verse 19. "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Well, guess what? The kingdom of heaven isn't here yet. So we are to keep teaching the law We are to keep obeying the law. And Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 31 says, and take from the NIV version, "Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." So we continue to keep the law. But many gloss over these scriptures, and many don't like that. The fact that they have to obey and keep obeying the law. And yet they do what they want to do, and they try to justify their reasons as to why the law has been done away with. There is also a lot of confusion when it comes to the law and what it's exactly referring to, because many don't like to research further and they don't like to look at the context to see the difference between the law of Moses, which included all kinds of laws, like the sacrificial and ritual laws, and also the book of law in the New Testament, which also refers to the Ten Commandments that are still to be kept, including the Sabbath day, which we are doing today, while the most of the world is not. Quoting from our Q&A on this very topic, we say, "Some claim that God abolished the entire law of Moses with all of its commandments, statutes, judgments, and regulations. They fail to realize that the law of Moses, or the book of the law, included both temporary ritualistic statutes and timeless spiritual commandments. And they are ignorant of the fact that not the entire law of Moses was abolished. They don't understand what the Bible means when it talks about law. Neither do they grasp the difference between law and covenant, falsely teaching that they are identical, and that the Ten Commandments were abolished when the Old Covenant was revoked." And you can read a lot more about this in our booklet, Lawlessness Will Abound. And it continues on saying, "This biblical ignorance has created a lot of harm, and those false teachers have deceived many who have followed their destructive heresies. However, God makes it clear that they will have to give an account for their wrong example, as they live in sin and have induced others to sin likewise." So because of ignorance and uncertainty, we have what we have today: people doing as they please, keeping holidays which are not from God, abusing their bodies in ways which are shameful in God's eyes, giving into sin and deceit, and forsaking God's specific commands on how to live a godly life. God tests us to see how strong we really are in His law, which is different or even considered strange to those who are not familiar with God's law. And we have to have the knowledge of the truth, and we have to be vigilant and stand up for God's truth when we are asked. Remember, most of the time, people are only curious and want to know why we do what we do, because it's a mystery to them. Then oftentimes when we give them an answer, it ends right there, unless they really are wanting to argue. When the Bible is very consistent and doesn't contradict itself, God's law is peaceful and it is perfect. But God's law, as I mentioned, is also a mystery to the world. And we are called and are clean. At least we ought to live that way. But we live in an unclean world, ruled by Satan. And we know just how easy Satan can ensnare us. And we know it's going to get tough and it's going to get harder. And we know that with the feast approaching, that we're going to be going through some challenges like we do every year. But Satan does tempt us, just like he tempted Christ when Christ was on the earth as a human being. We have to act as Christ did and conquer Satan by doing the right thing. The Bible explains what we are not to do and that which is considered unclean. We are to get rid of our members which are on the earth and do the opposite, as Colossians 3 verses 5 through 11 explains. But let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 through 7. To further elaborate, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 2. "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. But this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. So here you go. If we're going to waste our time having arguments with people who really don't care what you believe in, but just for the sake of argument, says it right here. We shouldn't be deceived by empty words from other people. And because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And we shouldn't partake with them. Because the longer we are with them and we are listening to them or whatever it may be, who knows, we may actually fall victim to that as well. Or doing our own research on the internet, on this and that, so looking at videos and stuff which have nothing to do with what the Bible is saying and try to contradict, it can get, it's poison. And it could start affecting you. So we shouldn't have anything to do with that. What is going on in the world is only going to get worse, and it will continue on until the very end. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. So we have a list of things here which are ungodly. And yet, people that fall in this category think they're still doing the right thing, having that form of godliness. So, we see these things, these attributes, these characteristics, whatever, that's happening today. But look, it's going to continue on until the end. And this is where we need to be careful that we don't fall under this category as well. Without God's intervention, nobody would survive. These are the kinds of things that we are faced with in this world and may be tempted by. But we have to be strong. Always looking to God for strength. Without Him, we are all alone. This is why we have to put away our uncleanliness, which is our carnal mindset, fueled by Satan. And we are to do the opposite. Live God's way of life, remain clean by putting on the character of the new man. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As well as the fruits of righteousness, described as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 26. This truly is the way of peace, which is the guide to happiness. And if we live this way, we will be happy, even in a world filled with violence, corruption, and sorrow, because we all know what our potential is and what our calling is all about.